The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as
ever, she's too excited. Her man looked like he wanna fight. There was a great article in the Journal Sentinel yesterday. Five big questions Packers must answer in 2024 season opener. So I'm just going to run through those questions, Chew.
Yep.
And you'll see if you... Let's see if we can come up with what we think the answer is ultimately going to be. Question number one. Can the Packers block the Eagles' defensive fronts? Eagles have Jalen Carter, who Matt LaFleur earlier this week called the freak show. Bryce Huff, Jordan Davis, Josh Sweat. They've got a good front. Offensive line has been a question mark for us. Are the Packers able to block the Eagles' defensive fronts?
The defensive line, Eagles will have their moments, you know, and get to them. But the O-line will play well enough to win the game.
Okay.
I mean, they're going to get beat.
Yep.
Love's going to get sacked. But it's not going to get to the point where they're not going to be able to do certain things because of the offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Frank would always say, Frankie bag of donuts. You know what? They get paid too. So they're going to win. And the Packers are going to win.
Can the Packers keep Jalen Hurts contained?
No.
Career high 157 yards back in that game that Jason and, Craig and Joshie were referencing earlier. 157 yards on the ground back in 2022.
No. What do you mean by give me your definition of contained under how many yards? See what I saw last night?
Yeah.
Because both teams tried to create pressure with four.
Yeah.
And sometimes they did, sometimes they didn't. The game is going to be very similar, I believe, to last night's game.
Okay.
Like, defensively, it seemed to me last night was kind of a little Joe Barry bend but don't break. Neither team was super aggressive, I don't think. But I think it's going to be, you know, towards a higher end type of game in the offense. The offense will outshine both defenses, put it that way.
So the answer to this question, can the Packers defend two great receivers? You kind of leaning towards no on that one as well.
I'm telling you, Gabe, it all depends on Saquon. If they get rolling with their running game and the Packers have to go to, we got to kind of keep everything in front of us because as soon as they go to a heavy box, they're going to go to play action pass if they're gashing them in the run. So you have to be very careful there. I think it's going to be the same thing. They're going to pick and choose. They're going to make their plays. You know, it's a lot like playing Tyreek Hill, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to keep them to two catches for 22 yards? No. You know, you have to keep them from getting 12 catches for 240 yards.
Yeah.
Give them 100 yards. That's fine.
Yeah. Eight catches,
it's
100
like
yards.
Like you said earlier in the show, like with Hurts and Saquon, 130 yards,
yeah.
I'll take it
correct.
All day long.
Yeah. Unless it's like on, you know, 10 carries, then that's not good. But if you're able to, 130 yards, you're able to kind of limit their effectiveness.
I just got this gut feeling, and I didn't even have it until I came in today, and it was kind of after what Jason said when they want to shuffle personnel. I just think Philadelphia is going to get them whatever they want, whether it's base or nickel, and then they're automatically going to go to, all right, let's speed this thing up to keep them from substituting. This is what we want. We want nickel. We want to run the ball, keep nickel on the field, mix in some play action, and go from there.
Can the Packers adjust fast versus a veteran defensive coordinator? So Vic Fangio, new defensive coordinator for the Eagles, replacing Sean Desai from a year ago in Philadelphia. And with the offensive line, I would not be shocked if they try to create early pressure by bringing five.
Yes, but I don't think there's a better coach in the league that has a handful of plays when it comes to scheming their guys open. So I anticipate one, possibly two touchdowns off of he schemed them open perfectly, whether that's a backside over route or something like that, where they will get scores there. Now, Fangio's an upgrade of what they had last year, but LaFleur will have his day and have his place.
And this is what I think the game comes down to. Can the Packers handle Saquon Barkley?
Do I have to answer that?
It's the last question.
Can I say hopefully?
I don't think they do. Like Saquon Barkley in a rushing attack against a defense that hasn't been able to run everything they want to run early, Like that just makes me worried. Like, it doesn't matter who the Packers defensive coordinator's been for a decade, they haven't played the run well.
No, and I just told you that, you know, I said it all offseason, the running lanes in a 4-3 are different than a 3-4.
Than the 3-4.
You get downhill on a 4-3 and you move that defensive line, you know, if Wyatt...
Now, the one thing I feel, I don't know if it's great about or I'm talking myself into at least, is that offensive line for the Eagles is going to be different without Jason Kelce.
He did so much.
He was such a good player, such a special player, that there's going to be an adjustment period for them, and maybe there aren't the running lanes I think there could be for Saquon Barkley.
No, I would probably call the offensive lines comparable. You? Would you say one's... It's just we don't know. That's the problem.
I have questions about the Packers' right side. I don't know. Like I am fearful that Zach Tom looks around, knows even though he's not 100% that he's got to play because he's better than any other option.
Yes.
But less than 100% on the right side makes me a little nervous. And then they're rotating the right guard.
I can just tell you this, Gabe. If me and Tausch were blocking Preston Smith and whoever their front side linebacker is, and I'm sure Tausch would say the same, I'd feel really good. I'd feel really good.
What about the guy right next to him, who you don't know who's going to be because they're rotating?
I wouldn't be so good, but getting the edge set,
yeah,
when you got 600 pounds on Preston Smith, who's never been great at defending the run, and you can move him off the ball. That's the stuff that scares me.
Yeah,
that's coupled with if they're gonna stop the run on the way to the quarterback, which is the old University of Miami way of doing things under Jimmy Johnson and Dennis Erickson. That's Trap City. So I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know. That's why I'm kind of with Joshy. Part of me is like, I kind of want to watch this game by myself to study it, but it's Friday. Josh, it's ultimately Friday.
Only get so many of those a year.
Why was it so bad last weekend? You're like scared right now. Are you a little bit scared? Not of the game.
Well, no, because
scared of yourself.
No, well, he's scared of himself. He's always scared of himself because Josh can't trust himself when he goes out. I mean, Josh played in 18. He had you know why he got lit up last week? He had a fantasy draft. So he started on the golf course at like 8, 9 in the morning, played 18 holes to determine what the draft order is, went wherever for the draft, and then they ended up at Pado until the following morning.
But you know what I love about Josh? He knows his limitations.
No, he doesn't.
He does this week.
Well, he knows to say no.
Yes.
But do I think there's a possibility Josh gets talked into going out this weekend? Yeah, that's always a possibility.
The game will be over at what time?
Tonight, the game will be over 10:30.
If they win comfortably, will you go out?
No, because I got to be up at 7 a.m.
Weak. Lost a lot of points right there.
Now, is there a chance that Josh is out on Saturday night after he's done working?
Of course.
There's always a chance for that.
Nice day. Grab a porch brewski. You never know.
Disappointed. We landed from Japan because Holmgren wouldn't let us drink on the plane, had a private plane waiting for us at Signature, and went down to Milwaukee. That's troopers.
You think Josh or I have private plane money? When you got it, you got a driver,
let me tell
it's
you
easy.
What, I didn't pay for the plane.
Think Josh and I have
good
friends
old number
who
four.
Have private plane money?
To say, if I had a flight in the morning, I could just hop on to Madison. I'd be there.
Do you believe him, though? If the Packers win 35-14,
yeah,
you don't think he's going to get the
he's going
go
to bed.
Celebrate?
No,
there.
He's going to bed. Straight to bed. Because he lives in an area now where he doesn't have a lot of friends around. You know, he's not just going to like hop in his car and drive downtown. The area he lives in,
all
is
right,
like
okay.
There's I don't even know if do you have like a corner bar
there
anywhere?
There is a corner bar.
Okay,
Spent a lot of time there. A lot of nightcaps there.
Yeah, but he's from Maguanago.
So?
He's not from River Hills.
What does that mean?
You're a grind it out. You're blue. Grab my lunch pail and a High Life, and here I am.
You're a blue collar drinker,
Josh. We'll worry about
Joshy.
Madison when we get there.
I'm too old for that.
I'm not.
I don't think the Madison crew would be pleased with me if I showed up hungover.
Be an epic show, I bet.
Either the partners at Zimbrick European looking at me looking like a slob.
What's going on with this guy? What did he get into last night?
Sunglasses on inside.
Well, Joshy, since you and I know we're both sitting home for the game tonight, one thing we should probably just make sure we've got ready to go, Palermo's Pizza. Whether we're talking about Palermo's, Urban Pie, Connie's, Surfer Boy Pizza, Screamin' Sicilian, and all the different kinds of Screamin' Sicilian that they have, they're going to have a pizza that satisfies your appetite on game day. Maybe within Screamin' Sicilian, Josh, you were just telling me about this yesterday, the new Detroit-style pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. They got, I mean, it's a you know, pan-type crust, a thicker crust. They found a way to get the caramelized cheese on the edges.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Perfect to fill you up on game day. So find them in your grocer's frozen food aisle. Palermo's. Flavor is our family's business.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Come on, guys. Let's think about this. Could you do 50 straight days of burgers?
That was very condescending.
Let's put our heads together.
Again, I have children. I know condescending when I hear it.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Sophia Minert did not join us earlier this week, so we're going to talk to Sophia Minert at 8:30. Usually on Fridays, that's when we test Chewy's knowledge to see what he, you know, if he remembers what he said throughout the course of the week. But instead, we do that right now on We Can Reach You.
Think you know the show better than the average ESPN Milwaukee fan? Now's your chance to prove it. It's time to play the Week in Reach You.
How you feeling? Strong, good?
I feel okay.
Five questions that Joshy has picked throughout the course of the week. You get three right, you win. You get three wrong, you lose. Question number one begins with an audio clip.
I'm just telling you the rear view mirror. I'm not looking in my side mirror yet.
What team did you say was in your rear view mirror to start the season?
The Bears. Who are they with you?
They're in the side mirror.
They are?
Objects are closer than they may appear.
Why? Caleb?
Yeah, I mean, that offense has a lot of weapons.
But it's ultimately the Bears.
Yeah, like, I'm hoping that they bleep it up because they're the Bears.
I mean, they got a layup. Well, is Tennessee a layup game? Tennessee's not very good.
Tennessee's not very good.
No.
Did you hear Belichick kind of dump on Caleb?
No.
He said he wasn't that good and he wasn't that accurate. I mean, we know he hates rookie quarterbacks.
Yeah. I mean, he's...
But I found that interesting.
That's weird, because he's dating a girl about the same age.
It's a good pop.
Number two.
Starts with the audio clip.
I mean, if I'm eating a poop, it's probably deer.
What was the original animal poop that somebody was supposed to eat?
I remember this, because then Joshy said, no, rabbit would be better.
Well, you started power ranking the poops you wanted to eat, and we just kind of, you know, pulled the ripcord on the segment.
Yeah. What was the original?
Yeah. So somebody had tweeted, if BC beats FSU,
I'll eat
this animal poop out of a solo cup.
What's the question?
You said, play the audio clip again.
I mean, if I'm eating a poop, it's probably deer.
So you said that you would eat deer poop if you had to eat a poop. We are asking, what was the original animal poop that started the whole conversation? The guy said he was going to eat what kind of poop?
Dog. Oh, it was?
Nailed it.
I figured there was a lucky chance he could just guess.
Who was going to eat dog poop?
Well, the guy on the Twitter
guy. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Who then,
and then
deleted,
he backed out.
Yeah, deleted all of his accounts, but then people found like him, his girlfriend, like the whole nine yards.
Okay.
Imagine your girlfriend getting harassed because you said you'd eat poop on an anonymous account. It's terrible.
The relationship has to end then, right?
Yeah, like,
what if you ate it?
No, just by her getting harassed because he said he was going to do it and then deleted his
account. That's a bold take. That might have been the boldest take, but he didn't follow through. So,
what word did I want you to originally spell and hoped that you would spell it wrong?
Okay. I'm not going to spell it for spite. I don't even remember that.
It's not like a word like knife.
What day of the week was that?
This
Wednesday?
This was yesterday.
Oh, I
and
no
it was
idea.
In the open.
No idea.
The word is over.
So I don't remember
that. You were talking about over with a capital O.
Oh.
And when you did that, I'm sitting here, I'm like, I'm hoping he says a wrong letter here, like over with a capital V or something weird, right?
Yeah.
Which then led us to the brilliance of you claiming that when God created the alphabet, he did it wrong.
Well, there's no need for a K in front of a knife. I mean, I don't want to relitigate that, but I think I'm right there.
Question number four starts with the audio clip.
Kind of weak. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I know. So now you're...
I mean, it's, yeah. I could have done that.
What player did Adam Schefter tweet would be out for tonight's Packers game?
Oh, White.
I thought there was 0% chance
really?
That you were going to get that.
Yeah. The only reason I got it is because I remember him from all his years in Tampa.
Okay. All right.
That's
so that makes sense. Yeah. Sure. Well, you've already won. Let's see if you can run it up on Joshy. I thought that was the question that was going to prevent you from potentially going perfect this week. You didn't get the over one, which I thought you were going to get. So question five, one more audio clip.
Tell me the one player that did it 10 years ago. Maybe 12.
Oh, okay. I know.
Tell me the one player who did it 12 years ago.
Okay, what's the question? So you're talking 20 years ago.
Might be.
What player from 22 years ago were you talking
Rich
about?
Rich Gannon. I can't believe it's been 22 years.
22 years.
Jeez, time needs to slow down.
It happened 10 years ago.
The only thing I remember about...
Hey, the second he said it, I knew he was talking about Rich Gannon. Yeah. Knew it. Just absolutely knew it.
More than double his original estimation.
The only thing I remember about Rich Gannon is when we were, we played over in Japan. We were playing Kansas City Chiefs, and he was the quarterback there.
Okay.
So it was me, Frank Brett, Rich Gannon, Tim Grunhard, who was their center, and might have been Tunch Ilkin, who was doing the game.
Okay.
Long time Pittsburgh Steeler and played with us in Green Bay. And we ran up... barbell, probably about 300 something bucks, and Rich Gannon signed it to Carl Peterson's room, which were that would be the equivalent of us signing it to Ron Wolf,
yeah,
which we would never do,
correct,
because of Holmgren's wrath, and we were all for it and never heard a word about it. So thanks, Rich.
I feel like we almost have to have Rich Gannon on at some point to see if we can get a follow up on that story to see if he ever got in trouble.
I don't know. Carl Peterson, longtime GM there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, never heard. Of course, if someone's going to do something like that.
Oh, yeah, you're like, hey.
Hey, have at it.
I'm not going to deal with that.
Yeah.
We're going to pivot to the Milwaukee Brewers, who are closing out their season this month. More from the Brewers and Sophia Minnertz coming up next.
From the latest happenings on the diamond.
With the team here the last couple days, Eric Haas had a big weekend, and pitchers love throwing to him. I mean, he's a great, great teammate.
To all the insight and expertise on things outside the ballpark.
Some of these deals, and of course the way that the wild card picture is right now, if the narrative is that there might be teams that are both buying and selling.
We only turn to one person. Batter up. It's Sophia Minnert on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Brought to you by Two Men in a Junk Truck. From unwanted furniture to full-service residential and commercial cleanouts, go to twomeninajunktruck.com to book your free, no-obligation, same-day estimate.
Mr. On Wednesday, but we get our Brewers fix with Sophia Minnert right now here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Sophia.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Doing good.
Doing great. You got the Packers today. You got the Brewers, you know, starting a little bit earlier because of that. Very excited to kind of take in it all as the Brewers begin their postseason push. So I'm going to ask you to predict something for me, Sophia. Okay. When does it happen? Home run number 20 and Jackson Churio officially becomes a member of the 2020 club.
I mean, let's go with this weekend. Why not?
Yeah, do it at home.
Yeah, let's do it at home. You know, let's do it at home. Let's do it this weekend. You know, he's obviously been swinging the bat really well. And, you know, he's playing with a lot of confidence right now. It just feels like he's in a really good spot. You know, the Brewers are facing the Rockies for 3 games now. So I'm going to say sometime in the next 3 days.
Sophia, I thought that was real classy of Ken Griffey Jr. to record that little message to him. Did the Brewers ask him to do that, or do you know if he did that all on his own?
Yeah, so they did ask him to do it. However, he and Willie have known each other for a couple of years now. So Willie has worked out with the Hall of Famer Barry Larkin in Orlando for a couple of off seasons, and he got to know Barry Larkin really well, and he calls Barry Larkin Mr. B. He's just forever, it's Mr. B to him. And through Barry Larkin, got to know Ken Griffey Jr. and his family living in the Orlando area. So, you know, Willie told us a great story of just the first time he met Griffey Jr. At the gym, I think it was. He said it was just, he just stood there just like silently, right? Like deer in the headlights, couldn't believe that he was meeting, you know, Ken Griffey Jr., which, you know, we saw a great moment with him last year when he got to meet Derek Jeter at Yankee Stadium, and he was like a kid on Christmas morning, you know, just, so I always love that, you know, to see players when they get to meet players that they've, you know, grown up watching and love and all of that. So, Ken Griffey Jr. Also worked with our PR director, Mike Vassallo, when he was with the Cincinnati Reds. So it was awesome of Griffey Jr. to do that. Willie really appreciated it. I mean, how cool is that, you know, to have a video like that for him?
What's been the key to his success this year? Because Willie's always been the heartbeat of the team. And it seems, mm-hmm. and he's always had the power, you know, had, you know, 30 home runs a couple of seasons ago. And he's on the verge of hitting 30 home runs yet again this year. But it really seems, I mean, and rightfully so, I've done this as well, that Jackson Churio has been kind of the best player in this lineup since Christian Yelich went down. But it also seems like Willie's mm-hmm. really raised his game since Christian got hurt as well.
Yeah, look, Willie's having a career year. And I think we talk about it a lot, and I think we almost don't talk about it enough, the fact that he has started every single game. 0 days off for Willie. It is just so hard to do. It's such a demanding position, right? Right in the middle of the infield at shortstop. And the way he does it, right? I mean, I think we talk about like the energy and the joy and all of that he brings. Like, it is hard to do that every day. And it's who he is, and it comes naturally to him. But, I mean, he's human, right? There are days when you've got to kind of create that for yourself. And I think first of all, he's drawing more walks. He's going to have a career year in walks. And I think when you're able to do that, that's not typically been part of his game. But when you're able to do that, that's just a sign of like ball strike, which Pat Murphy talks about, your ball strike awareness and decisions. Obviously, if you're seeing the ball well, you're putting yourself in a better position to hit. He's getting on base a lot. His teammates are getting on base a lot for him. You know, this offense is just more dynamic than offenses that we've seen in the past, because even that record of 13 three-run homers, you know, it's obviously really hard to do. That's a credit to the hitters in front of him getting on, but he just loves those situations. He loves runners on base. It feels like every homer is either a three-run homer or in the seventh inning or later. You know, he just has that kind of clutch, like he locks it in. He loves those situations. He typically makes good decisions. And he has the ability to do damage. He has the ability to go opposite field. So, yeah, I think what Willie has done this year, in the absence of Christian especially, I mean, I think you could also ask, like, who's going to get to, you know, is Jackson going to get to 20 before Willie gets to 30? Like, might be fun if they do it on the same day. But Willie's having just an absolutely unbelievable year.
Sophie, we had Craig on earlier in the show, and he said that the Diamondbacks are the hottest team in baseball right now, and the Brewers mm-hmm. have 7 games coming up against them. Are they the hottest team mm-hmm. in baseball right now?
I'd say, look, it's been a really fun race in the National League West because, you know, the Dodgers are trying to lock up that division. They've got a pretty good lead, but the Padres and the Diamondbacks have been going head-to-head pretty much since the All-Star break. I think the Padres have the best record coming out of the break. The Diamondbacks kind of got hot before that. And so those are the two teams that are at the top of the wild card standings. And we've talked a lot about kind of what that wild card picture looks like. The Brewers are currently still third. And then the Padres and the Diamondbacks are separated by half a game right now. And then the Braves and the Mets are tied right now for that third spot. So, yeah, I think there's a big stretch coming up ahead of them. They're going to have the Rockies this weekend. They'll be off Monday. And then they start 13 straight. And so you're going to Oracle Park to play the Giants, which is always kind of like playing games at Wrigley Field. Like, it's just, you don't really know what's going to happen with the weather there. Mm-hmm. And then you've got the 7 against the Diamondbacks, like you were just talking about, with, by the way, 3 against the Phillies sandwiched in between. So that next homestand coming up of 3 against Philly and 4 against Arizona is going to, it's going to determine a lot. You know, for the Brewers, they're hoping it's clinching time, but in terms of trying to catch the Phillies and trying to get that second seed, that's their best shot.
So the next two series against Colorado and San, are those must wins? I mean, we talk about must wins in football. Are these must win series for the Brewers?
Yeah, I think it's like you'd like to say so. Yeah.
if you want to get one of those top two seeds,
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, it's like, you know, they have a great division lead. Like, it's a 9-game lead over the Cubs with 22 games left. I think the magic number is 13. The Cubs were off yesterday as well, so I don't think that number has changed. But look, they're still very much believing, like, hey, let's go after that 1 or 2 seed to get yourself a bye. So, to do that, you have to win as many series as possible. So, yes, I mean, you can – it's hard to put that, like, must-win label on things in baseball. But, yeah, you gotta win as many series as you can, obviously, to lock up the division and then, you know, to stay in it and try to catch the Phillies or the Dodgers.
Who's been the unsung hero of the Brewers this year?
Oh, my gosh. The whole roster.
Yeah, because I was just thinking of this because, you know, obviously, I mean, Willie's having a career year. We sung his praises. William Contreras, we've called him the best catcher in baseball at times this year. Jackson Churio being 20 years old. Bryce Turang should be a Gold Glove winner. Like, you go up and down the roster, and it's awesome because it seems like it is a complete team effort, and everybody is getting their just due, especially when they're on a hot streak.
Yeah, I say that jokingly, but also like very sincerely about the whole roster.
Blake Perkins?
Look, I think I was just going to say, I mean, Bryce Turang, Blake Perkins. I think you could honestly even say Jackson Churio, you know, because look, he has all the talent in the world, but to put all of this on a 20-year-old kid and to have him performing at this level, you know, I don't know if the Brewers would tell you that they expected a 2020 season. Do they believe he's capable of it? Of course. That's why you get a contract like that. But to do it in your rookie year and to make the adjustments that he has, I mean, it's really, really special what we're watching. And I think if you're a Brewers fan watching, like, you've got to be so excited about what the future could look like for this kid, and that the Brewers have him locked up for so long. I do think, though, we got to give some love to the bullpen, and I could not single out like a single guy there, but I think there were so many questions, right, about what the pitching was going to look like, how they were going to cover innings, the injuries that they've dealt with, you know, and this bullpen, you know, to do it without Devin for the majority of the season, like the most unexpected contributions. How could you forget Tobias Myers?
Tobias Myers.
I mean,
yeah.
Tobias, you can't have this conversation without talking about Tobias Myers either. I mean, wow. Like, what a story for him. You know, he was his 6th different organization. He's 25. 2 years ago, he was the worst pitcher in AA. Like, the turnaround for him has just been amazing.
Is there any way Churio wins Rookie of the Year?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I think, you know.
Oh, really? I mean, Paul Skeens, it just seems like clinched that award in July. No, I do want him to. These things are like so narrative based. Like, because I think I already gave the Rookie of the Year to Paul Skeens in July.
Oh, come on, Gabe. We've got
But being hot at the end of the season is huge.
I would love for it to happen, but it just seems like the rookie who started the All-Star game for the National League might be the front runner for that award.
To add context here, Jackson Merrill is actually the betting favorite currently.
Really? Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say... It's a really intriguing, I think that like that race is going to be fascinating, especially down the stretch here. I mean, look, I agree with you. Paul Keynes, what he has done, an unbelievable rookie season too, right? And to start the All-Star game, I think says a lot about his status in the league. Jackson Merrill playing center field for the Padres, also going to be a postseason team. He's been Mr. Clutch too he's already over 20 homers. I think he has more home runs and RBIs than Churio. But again, like it's going to be really fun to watch those two go head to head. And then I think you can, you know, you get into all these arguments, right? Of like, is it fair to compare a pitcher, you know, who starts every 5 days with position players who are playing every day? You know, Pittsburgh not being a postseason team, the Padres and the Brewers obviously are, right? And you're playing premier positions in the outfield. So I think right now Merrill is technically the front runner. To me, it's still a 3-horse race. Like I think you can make a lot of great arguments for Jackson Churio.
Either way,
what he's done in the second half, he's top five in baseball, let alone rookies.
Either way, I mean, it's exciting time to be a Brewers fan. It's exciting time to be a baseball fan, Sophia, with all this young talent that is just being infused to the game. Cause I feel there are times where rookie of the year is like, well, all right, I guess we got to give it to someone where you have legitimately three contenders right now. I think it's a great time to be a baseball fan with all this young talent that's out there.
No, absolutely. Like this is the fun time of year, you know? And I think, you know, this team deserves a lot of credit for what they've done to get themselves, to put themselves in this position that like we're having these conversations is so wild. You know, you think about all the questions around this team at spring training and we've gotten so many questions during the season about how is this team doing this? And like, who are these guys and can they really keep this going? And, you know, is this for real? And it's here we are, you know, it's after Labor Day, there's 22 games left and we're talking about rookie of the year and we're talking about postseason and we're talking about top seeds. And I think it's been a really, really fun season. So I hope, I hope fans have enjoyed it. And there's just obviously a lot left for this team to do. And it's been really fun. I've just loved watching these guys and kind of how they've grown and grown together and competed. And they haven't given in to anything.
Again, an early start tonight for the Brewers, 5:10 first pitch at AmFam Field. Sophia, part of the coverage over at Bally Sports Wisconsin. Sophia, always appreciate the time. Can't wait to talk next week.
All right, guys. Yeah, enjoy the the baseball-football doubleheader on a Friday night.
Absolutely.
Great times. Appreciate it, Sophia. She joins us once a week, usually on Wednesdays. Happens today to be Friday today here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. But the Wisconsin Country Club is giving back to the community, and you can as well. Swing for Cindy and help raise money for ALS on October 5th. It's a 10 a.m. shotgun start with silent auction, raffles, putting contest, and more. You can always go to thewisconsincountryclub.com, thewisconsincountryclub.com, and register by contacting Don Tracy or Derek Gentry. Join me, meanwhile, out at Wisconsin Country Club. I absolutely love it out there. No assessments ever. There's no food and beverage minimums with a beautiful golf course that is challenging. And that's my favorite part about being out there. But maybe you're somebody, you know, who has a family and wants some of those other family activities like pool, tennis, pickleball, themed Sunday fun days at the pool, all at Wisconsin Country Club. Find out more information at thewisconsincountryclub.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
So you mentioned Super Bowls and parties and how they don't go hand in hand, which again is an absurd comment by you two, but just one of many on the show.
Dumber thing that Chewy has said this morning. Super Bowls and parties don't go hand in hand, or cheddar is not a top 10 cheese.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Let's go, baby.
Don't play the game before the game starts, Gabe. You've got a lot of time left. Just sit in your hotel room and watch a movie and relax.
Well, if you are looking to, you know, spend some more time with us here on 94.5 ESPN, Green Bay game day starts at 4 o'clock today, 3 hours before the game. Myself, Alex Strofe, John Anderson, Brian Bulaga on that. Post-game this year with Homer and Tausch, and then Gary Ellerson joining them as part of the post-game. Jarrett Bush is going to be joining us from the Tundra Trio for home games, like next week against Indianapolis. Whole new lineup this year with our Green Bay game day and our game day coverage. Couldn't be more excited.
Who are you taking? You want me to go first?
Sure.
Packers win 31-28 on a Naverson 48-yard field goal as time expires.
Oh, sick.
What was that
the
name?
The irony. Yeah. Huh?
What was that name?
Doesn't matter.
How do you say Cheerio?
Jackson Churio.
Churio.
Yeah.
Churio.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know how to pronounce it. That's why I said, can he win the MVP instead of saying Churio? Because I was going to say Churio.
It's not like
Naverson, Naverson, Naverson. Did I get it? Narvison.
There you go.
You're missing the R. I think the season starts off rough. 28-24 Eagles.
Joshy?
30-27.
Saquon scares the crap out of me.
Green Bay Packers, of course.
Of course means you pick them every week?
No, I do
Of course
not.
It does.
Yeah.
Of course it does.
Yeah, I kind of... Are you shocked that I took the pack?
I was surprised you took the pack.
I think it's going to be just like last night's. Just like last night's game. Back forth.
If Narvison has to kick a 48-yard game-winning field goal, I don't know if I can watch it.
Will you look away?
I might have to. New kicker, 48-yard field goal to win it.
What if he misses?
Although, in that situation, if it's a tie game, you know, you still have overtime, so it's not the end of the world. You know, it's not like you're down by one or 2 points and the field goal is going to win or lose you the game.
Remember when Mason Crosby and Evan McPherson traded misses for like 8 of them? That was electric. I'd sign up for that.
Just teams going 20 yards at a time, missing long field goals, just getting on the other side of the 50 and back.
I'm jacked.
We're jacked. We're excited. Wildy and Tausch going to continue to get you ready for today's game. Packers, Eagles. Wildy and Tausch next on 94.5 ESPN.